Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I feel like I'm at a smorgasbord this morning. Such a wonderful morning already. And just to see those children getting dedicated, got a baptism coming soon. And just the richness of family, you know. One of the things I seriously love about this place is the vision that Pastor Hal and the elders had long years ago to not only buy a big property like this, but to allow God to open the doors to all the ministry arms that we have. And to think that we've got Oxley Kids, the school, just the youth and the children's activities. It's just such a rich place. And I mean it. I think it's great that Valerie and Flynn got to know each other today. And let's keep praying for them, don't you think? I saw Beck, where are you? Up the back there, I saw you. Flynn was facing the back, and Chris had him facing the back. I saw you lean across and say, turn him around so he's on the camera. But it's just such a rich, rich thing. This morning I have the privilege of sharing God's word, and it is a privilege. Every time I share, I recognize the honor and the privilege that I have. And this morning I get to kick off, or I get to conclude the series of Choose Life, which Andy kicked off about 5 weeks ago. Week one, Andy talked about it's not about the money. Week two, he followed on with Rhythms of Rest. I love that one. Week three, we had Phil Brake share on sharing your faith. Week four, Steph talked on temples and tables. And again, that was great. Went home and put everything back into my cupboard because Steph said that obviously I needed it and I should keep it. And then last week, Nick spoke on relationship choices. So this morning, it's me. And I finish up with, it's about time. Now, I have a little activity for the kids. Nick, see that? I've got an activity for the kids. Yeah, I've got an activity for the kids. So this is for primary age kids. Okay, I want you on a bit of paper with your best multiplication tools to work out how many minutes in a year. Now, you've got to write down a bit of paper, show me all you're working, and doesn't matter when you do it, bring it up here, just one, the first one up. Bring it up here so that I can see you working, and if you've got it right, then I'll give you a prize, okay? So, bit of paper, pen. I want to see your best mathematical working, and you bring it up to me here, okay? Everyone got that? Parents, you're not allowed to help them. I can see mums and dads already helping their kids. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, Ecclesiastes. Shh. That was for the primary age kids. Everyone else, listen. Ecclesiastes is a book of 12 chapters full of the thoughts and the conclusions of Solomon. Solomon was in a deep season of seeking, on a quest to find out the purpose of the meaning of life. In Ecclesiastes 1, 2 to 3, he says this. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? And then it goes through for the rest of the 12 chapters, talking about all the things he searched out, all the things that he did to try and find out the meaning of life. And so what he was really doing was trying to work out, in my speak, is life really worth living? Now, obviously Solomon had everything. He had thousands and thousands of wives and concubines. He had everything under the sun. And so he had time just to muck around and to find out what life was about. And in Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon concludes, after considering time, that there was a season for everything. In verse 1 to 8 of chapter 3, he gives us a list of 14 pairs of opposing things, saying that each has its time. And as you think of the word time, you think of in the Bible just all the time that time is mentioned. Time is in God's hands. God knows the seasons. God knows the times. He knows when Jesus is coming back, etc., etc. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says this, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. It must have been COVID. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And then if you follow on in chapter 3, Solomon then goes on to say that God has given everything its proper time to occur, and that God himself has placed the idea of eternity or the world that we live in into the minds and the hearts of people. Now, I'm going to come back to Solomon at the end. However, let's see what else God says about time. And the scripture that I want to use as my text for this morning is Ephesians 5, 16 to 18. Making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Making the best use of time, or King James Version says, redeem the time. A great challenge. How do we redeem the time? How do we make the best use of time in what the world is telling us we are in a time-poor time? Time-poor world that we're living in now. I thought about that word, time-poor. I think it's not true. We keep being told that we're time-poor. We're being told that we don't have enough time for everything. We keep being told about all of these things to the point that we're starting to believe it. It's amazing how many times I hear people say that they're too busy, or that they think they're too busy. Too busy for others, too busy for God, too busy for family, too busy to work, or too busy for rest. And when Andy spoke on the rhythm of rest, he was challenging us in regard to making certain that we chose time to rest. Without being rude, and that's not me, you know that I'm not rude. Without being rude, believe it or not, that's not the truth. The truth is that if you say you're too busy, then your priorities are wrong. You're not budgeting your time wisely. Now, has anyone done the sum yet? Who? Quick, run out. Quick, come, run. Red jumper. Well, what's the red jumper? We are you're redoing it. Okay, you come out quick. The young lady, come out quick, fast. Let me have a look. Quick, fast. You can come. No, you don't have to come up on the platform. I won't embarrass you. Oh. Hey. Good girl. You can take that with you. There's a check. Okay, it's a lot of money. You take it back to your mum and dad and they'll put it in the bank for you, okay? Now, who else did it? Who got it right? Quick, over. Hurry, fast. What's that thing hanging out of your mouth? Oh, it's a Chupa Chup stick. Ooh, so close. Not right. But really close. Here, there's some money. Your Chupa Chup's nearly gone. You can have another one. There you go. Last one, running out of time. This could take all day. What school? No, I'm not going to ask you what school to go to. You might say Oxford College. Quick, somebody. Okay, quick, faster. Run, fast. This is my last Chupa Chup, so it's the last one. close enough. Here. Good girl.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay. Perspective. There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. There's 180 minutes in a week, or 100,080 minutes in a week. And believe it or not, there's 524,160 minutes in a year. Now, let me show you a little experiment. I'm not going to embarrass anyone like I just did then, but one of my little helpers early this morning went around the church and dropped 20 $1 coins on the floor. Okay, look at everyone looking down to see if they're still there, as if they would still be there. Okay, now, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to tell you off. I'm not going to tell you you stole money out of Church of God. I'm not going to tell you anything like that. I just want you to stand if you picked up a dollar. If you picked up a dollar, stand. Keep standing. Keep standing. Roman, I know you picked up a dollar. Quick, Roman, stand. Okay, that's exactly what I thought. You can all sit down. I told you I wasn't going to embarrass you. Now, you notice that it was made up of young people, older people, and really, really, really old people. Okay? In fact, I was walking yesterday with my daughter down the back with our dogs, and as we walked past the dirt road at Oxley Kids, she bent down and she picked up 5 cents. It was dirty. It wasn't shining. I don't know how she saw it, but she did. And guess what she did with it? She put it in her pocket. Okay, so keep a thought of that for a minute. Every one of us, all things being equal, at 12 o'clock on the 31st of December, are gifted by God 524,160 dollar minutes. There's a check. Okay, you can have one too. Take it to the bank. I promise you, they will not honour it. Okay, can you show that check up, please? Thank you. That's what it looks like. It comes from God's bank. There you go. I better take them over here. Jill, don't forget to tithe on it. You're getting baptized today. This is going to be so exciting. Welcome. Have some money. There you go. Hey, Claudia.
Oh, thank you.
That's my pleasure. There, you can have the rest. That's me. Think about it. Every year, we get the same amount of time given to us. Think back to that dollar on the ground. In the same way that we would bend down to pick up that dollar, God wants us to value every dollar minute that we've been given. Or in Narelle's case, that 3 minutes. Because that 5 cents equates to 3 minutes. And so this morning, I want to just give you some practical tips. And I mean practical tips on how to redeem time. How to make the most of the time that we have. Because unfortunately, we do waste an awful lot of time. And when we waste time, we end up not having enough time to do what the most important things are. And so number one is you need to create a time budget. A guy called Alan Larkin said, you never have enough time to do everything, but you do have time to do anything. So make sure you're doing the right thing. Time is life. To master your time is to master your life. Benjamin Franklin said, do you love life? Then don't squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of. In 87 because we just finished building this building, and I and Jim and Dave Whitty and Graham Malocco worked hard for 18 months in building this place. And I just finished doing that, or we just finished doing that, and Pastor Oxy said, Graham, you need to go to America. I've got some stuff for you to do, and you need to have a break. And so I went to America, and I did a couple of things that I had to do, and I was sitting in a hotel room just outside of Anaheim. I was going to go to Disneyland. I'd never been there before. And God started to speak to me, and I was tired. I was really, really tired. I didn't know how I was going to continue to do the things that I was doing at the time that I was at the pace that I was doing it. And I felt God say to me, Graham, you need to budget your time. And so I sat down, and over a day, a whole day I wasted in this room with God. No, it wasn't wasted. And instead of going to Disneyland, I did a budget. And so the first thing I did was 7 days, and I broke the days into morning, afternoon, and evening. And I wrote down what I did on each day. And then God said, now I want you to reorder your week. And Pastor Oxy used to always say to me, Graham, you've got to have 3 nights off, and one of them's got to be a 24-hour period. And in fact, he would ring Chris often to see if I was doing it, making certain, giving her time. And so I did my week, and then I had to do a budget of my day. What time I went to bed, what time I got up, what I did in each hour. And at the end, I came home from America with this time budget. And I still, to a degree, live by that time budget. I know what I do, I know my best times, I know how to do it, and that's how I can fit everything into the day that I have to do. So I encourage you to stop and to do a budget. Just as much as you would do a budget with money, do a budget with time so that you can use the time that you've given wisely. And in the process of doing your budget, don't forget to put a God time in there. Now, I'm diary driven, so I write God time in my diary to make certain that it's in there. Isaiah says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I hear people say, I'm too busy to have a God time. I'm too busy to put time aside to wait on God. The Bible says seriously that if you do that, then God will renew your strength. He will take away your tiredness. When you don't feel as though you've got enough time to do it, that's the time that you need to make, because God will give you not more time, but he'll make your time more real and more profitable. Let me give you some what I call useful time-saving tips. First one I would suggest is to consolidate tasks. Don't just do one thing. Now, men, this might be a little bit hard for you. Well, that's what I keep being told, because men, they say, can't multitask, but we can. We can watch telly and we can listen to a podcast at the same time. You know, you can watch the Grand Prix and you can do this and you can do that. Now, consolidate time. Find things that you can do and put together. Second one, listen to a podcast in the train or in your car. Listen to teaching series. Listen to things that are going to cause you to grow. Record TV programs. Watch them later. You can skip the ads. That saves an awful lot of time. Now, if you're a walker, add someone else to your walk time. Or listen to the Bible. Or if you are counseling or mentoring somebody, get them to walk with you at the same time. There's plenty of ways that you can do things that are going to make certain that you're using the best of your time. Number three, I say identify your prime time. I don't know about you, but I'm best in the morning. I get up 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning, and that is my time. That's the time that I can do the best work. Chris, totally opposite. Chris does her best time at about 11 o'clock at night, and that's when her creative thing is. Each of us has a particular time of the day when we are most energetic and most creative. If you're aware of your prime time, make the effort to schedule your top priorities during that time. If you aren't sure of your prime time, analyse your work style. Analyse how your week works. Look for common times each day when you feel the most productive, when you get the most done. asked me to do something late at night, not worth a crumpet. No creative skills whatsoever there. Determine your best and your best or most profitable, optimal work area. Think back through the times when you have had to do private creative work. Think of the places that you do your best work in, where you choose to work. Has there been a setting where you perform the best? You know, I find myself in my study at home is the best time that I can do my sermons, I can write better, I can do the things that I've got to do. Oftentimes coming home from work to work at home is better than trying to work here because of the interruptions, etc. Try to consistently plan to do your most creative, intense work in the place that you know you work the best. Create a master to-do list. Pastor Oxy used to say to me always, write it down, write it down. You'd go in and talk to him and he would get out his white cards and he would say, write it down, Graham, write it down, you'll forget it. So if you think it, ink it, is my way of saying things. Why do you create a master to-do list? And it doesn't matter how much you have on your master to-do list. You can have hundreds and hundreds of pages of dot points of things that you want to do. But you do that because it helps you to remember. It helps you prioritize. It reduces that feeling of being overwhelmed because you've taken it out of your brain box and you've put it down on a bit of paper or in your tablet or in your phone or whatever it might be. And it's a great feeling when you can get a bit of paper and you can cross through the line and say, done. Okay. When you do your master to-do list, make certain that you actually do it in a thing or a phone or a bit of paper that you're not going to lose so that you can continue to look back to it. Daily review it. Take from your master to-do list no more than 10 things to do in that one day and put them on your today do list. Do the urgent things, the important things, the things that you have to do first, because if you leave them to the last, like most, you'll procrastinate because you don't want to do it. And the things that you don't want to do, do first. And then always have on your master to-do list or on your daily to-do list a reward, something that you really like doing, something that you're looking forward to doing, so that you have a reward at the end of the day. And then number 6, delegate. Delegate is one of those things that lots of people do not like doing, but when you delegate, you get 80% more work done than what you would have done if you hadn't delegated. Now, for every perceived barrier of delegation, there's always going to be a benefit, I can guarantee you. You know, one of those perceived barriers is no one does it as well as I would do it. Or it takes me too much time to tell so-and-so how to do it. I might as well have done it myself. You think of mums at home, you think of the kids go and do such and such, oh, I might as well do it myself, it's quicker. They make more mess doing what I've asked them to do than me doing it themselves. But not only are we training, we are getting more things done. So again, a very simple message today. The thing I want to leave you also with as we come to the end of this series is the challenge of legacy. God has given us an ironclad guarantee on how we can future-proof our children. And as I've been listening to all the messages, as I've been looking at the text that Andy gave us to do our messages out of in Deuteronomy, I realise that the 5 messages have a lot to do with modelling, a lot to do with us as adults modelling to our children how they should do it. In Deuteronomy 30 it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. There choose life, that you and your offspring, you and your children may live. You choose life. You choose life in the way that you do it. You choose life in the way that you tithe, in the way that you are generous with your money and demonstrate to your children. You choose life in regard to the way that you rest, and your children will follow. You choose life in the way that you share your faith, and your children will follow. You choose life in the way that you get rid of clutter and all of those things that are taking up space and your children will follow. You choose life in the way that you budget your time and the way that you do life, and your children will follow. I said I'd come back to Solomon and to his final conclusion after searching for life, searching for the meaning and the purpose of life. And I want to end with that this morning. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, "The end of matter, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Our life is in our hands. What are you going to choose? Most of all, choose to fear God, to keep his commandments, for that is the duty of man. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you that you know everything about us. You know the time, you know the seasons. You know we're going to live, you know we know when we're going to be born, you know when we're going to die. Lord God, that we can worry so much about time. And Lord God, we can lose the benefit of the opportunities we have right now. I pray that in the simplicity of this message that we would go home, and that Lord God, we would never again say, "I'm too busy," or "I haven't got enough time." That Father, we would go home and we would choose what we're going to do. Choose what we're going to do in a way that's going to not only glorify you, but it's going to make the most of every opportunity we have. So Father, we just give you thanks now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.